few City fans stressing overnight, stressing, fretting, after the club teased them with that major news announcement at 8 a.m. the next morning. We thought it was a comunicado official. Jamie McLaren departs for insert cashed up Asian or European club here, but he signed an additional 2-year extension with the club to keep him in City Blue until 2024. Josh Parrish and Pakua Frimpong in the studio today. Welcome, Pakua, again.
It's good to be back. Been a while since I've been here, so I'm good.
Listeners have heard your voice, though, even though you haven't been in studio.
Here we go. That's right. It's fine. It was weird hearing my voice in an ad. That was strange, I'm not going to lie.
The new star of FNR's commercial arm. At pfrimmy31 for all of your commercial voiceover
Please,
needs.
Go ahead, follow me. I appreciate it.
What do you make of this Jamie McLaren extension? Are City building a sort of Sydney FC-esque dynasty to dominate the A-League for years to come?
You have to win a title for it to be a dynasty first. That would be nice. But I think so. It's a good confidence builder, especially heading into the grand final on the weekend.
They've got Leckie in for next season, which we thought might push McLaren out the door from a salary cap perspective, or we thought might be an insurance policy in case he left. But in fact, he said that was the trigger for him to sign, the ambition that the club showed.
I believe that a little bit, but I also think there's a little bit of, I think there's some lies in that. I think he got some big offers, but they weren't the offers he wanted. So I think that City was a comfortable choice in the end, especially with Leckie going to be there next season. I think it suited him well.
This is good for City. Is it good for J-Mac? Should he be pushing himself a little bit more?
I don't think it's good for him. I think we see a lot of Australian players depart the A-League too early, but I think he might stay in the A-League a little bit too long and then might devalue himself.
Mm. I mean, some people like being a big fish in a small pond, I suppose.
Yeah, but he
guaranteed first-team football. He can play for the national team without going abroad.
But what I'm saying to you is, though, do you think he's going to have a better season next season than he did this season?
I think it'd be tough to top what he just did.
Exactly, because this City attack is so impressive that with Noonan and Boot, they clicked so well. If they don't click well with Leckie, are those same offers going to come next season for McLaren?
I think they probably will. I mean, everyone can use goals, right? Especially if he puts together some decent performances in a Socceroos jersey. But he's under contract for 3 years, so that means City control his destiny, and they won't let him go without a fight, without a big transfer fee. So I think he's just staying in the A-League. I think he, you know, there's a pandemic. It's not really enticing prospect to travel overseas and play. I think it's a little bit concerning that our best A-League players aren't being tempted by going overseas and are in fact are coming back. I think Leckie has come back too early. It's good for the A-League, but I'm not sure it's good for the national team when our golden generation, our most successful team, was based off European players testing themselves at the highest level.
I think that's your spot. You've hit the nail on the head there. Like, you need players expanding, going to Europe and getting better, because there's only a level they're going to reach in the A-League. And if they go abroad and they get better and they learn better, the national team will, you know, succeed based off that. I don't know.
He had a few good months at Hibs, I remember, but aside from that, it hasn't really clicked for him in the national team or indeed outside of the A-League kind of bubble, you know, for Jamie McLaren. So maybe playing in the A-League, scoring 20 goals a season is the best way to guarantee his national team future.
To be fair, he is amazing, and it's going to be great seeing him in the A-League for the next, what, 3 seasons? So, you know, I'm happy as a spectator, but I think he could definitely have got somewhere that was bigger for him.
No Craig Noon next year. He's off to MacArthur. Do you think that's a loss? I mean, it is a loss, obviously.
It's a loss for MacArthur and Craig Noon. No, not MacArthur, sorry, City and Craig Noon.
I was thinking that's a bit harsh.
MacArthur definitely need... I know that MacArthur made the finals, and I understand that, but I find MacArthur such an unexciting team to watch, so Noon will make them more exciting, and that's all I can hope for.
Davila, Noon, De Silva, they're assembling quite a star cast for next season. They're hoovering up talent.
They paid a lot. They paid a lot this season, though. Mm. The football was
middling. Yeah, well, I guess they're going for proven performers this time around rather than imports where you're not sure.
They're trying to get some fans, so some exciting football would be nice to get some more fans, wouldn't it?
I think some cheaper tickets might be nice.
Ooh, That would be good.
They're paying literally nothing to rent Campbelltown Stadium. Surely, you know, their wage bill isn't so high that they have to charge fans through the nose for the privilege of standing in an active area that it's an obscured view anyway. I mean, the relationship with the active support has been kind of hilarious this season for MacArthur. They've firstly had a schism within the group, one side for the club and one side against the club, and then the side that was aligned with the club is now against the club as well.
How can you be in your first season and have fans already against you? Like Arsenal built it. You know, Arsenal spent 20 years building that. How in one season do you build fans not liking you? How does that happen?
The enmity.
Honestly, I just don't understand. Like,
it's like a rite of passage in the A-League, though, to have a supporter protest and a few people rip flares.
Yeah, but some people like to wait at least two seasons, not one.
So, MacArthur has gone through certain, like, phases of an A-League club, like, quicker than pretty much any other team.
MacArthur.
They've had the sort of overseas overhyped imports that didn't quite live up to the billing. They've had an ex-Socceroo who's completely washed up and ended his career here. Yep. Shout out to Mark Milligan, but he was pretty washed this year, and I think that's why he's retiring.
Yeah.
And now they've had the stealing talent from other clubs, which has been the Melbourne Victory approach. Most of Victory's best years have come from stealing players off Brisbane Roar. So.
MacArthur remind me of like an old man, like, you know, just a bit slow, just a bit drab. You know, they have some good moments where you have some like good, funny, you know, little quips, but and then they get in his. I just MacArthur just so nothing to me when I watch them in the A-League, and I'm like, can't you do something more that's like that's worthwhile turning the TV on to watch?
Yeah, it's not gone quite to plan, but I think they're trying to make moves in that direction. The problem is, we talked about early in the season, they're so overcoached. But why are we talking about MacArthur? It's grand final week.
Exactly. Jeez. We want to talk about teams that are in the finals.
And we also want to talk about the Dolan Warren Awards night, which is coming up. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a bit of a miscommunication, we thought, on the A-League socials, putting up this graphic saying, these are your nominees for the Johnny Warren Medal. People won't have the A-League social media team just done this of their own accord. Is it three contenders? Are these the only three people in line to win it? But apparently, the top three in voting are Ulises Davila, Alessandro Diamanti, and Milos Ninkovic. No McLaren in sight.
Can you explain again who does this voting process? Because I need to know who I should blame for this. Because it doesn't make any sense.
Well, at least a quarter of the blame can go to the match officials, which is the same way they do the Brownlow. It's pretty standard, 3-2-1s. I think it exposes a flaw in the 3-2-1 voting system because it's on a game-by-game basis, a player of the match performance. If you're in a good team with lots of good players who are all contributing, they actually take votes off each other. So being an outstanding player in a very middling team or a bad team, as Alessandro Diamanti was this season, gives you a better chance of garnering votes.
But even in that, I think it's flawed because as spectacular as like he is as a player, I don't think he's had that great of a season. Like he's spent a large portion of the season injured and then some of the other games he started on the bench. So I just don't understand how he's stacked that highly and, you know, ended up, what is he, I don't know what the ranking is now, but how has he ended up in the top three? It doesn't make any sense to me.
So this is the voting panel. There's four people on the body that's appointed by Football Australia. One technical football expert from a sub-panel of technical football experts appointed by Football Australia. So I guess they have a rotating cast of people who vote on different matches. One football media representative on a rotating basis. One former professional player and the match officials for each game. So it's a decent
range.
I guess the technical expert's probably like a coach or technical director or something like that.
I'd like it to be like the NBA voting for, and we get to see what everybody voted for because that would be really nice and add a bit of flair. You know, I love a bit of drama. You know, it'd be nice.
Do you think it should be a end of the season? Someone picks it as opposed to a match by match.
Yeah,
3-2-1.
Because I think you've got to look at the whole body of work. Like, I agree with you. The 3-2-1. There's a lot of flaws with it. But if you have a look at somebody's body of work and their impact, you know, and how far the season they've progressed out of the season, I think that's a more justified than the 3-2-1 system.
I think Davila is a fair nominee. Yeah. He's probably first or second with McLaren 100%. This season. But McLaren's also had a lot of help, in fairness, at City. You know, Nabut's been great when he's been on the pitch. Kolakowski, Tilio, Noon.
But then one of those, at least one City player should have made this final three. Like, yeah, I get that he's had a lot of help, but he's also put the ball in the back of the net, and you have, and somebody has
25
to.
25 times.
Exactly. And he's done it at an incredible rate, and not just like logging a lot of goals in one game. He's spread them out fairly evenly. So how he hasn't ended up in the final three is something that the A-League needs to question their voting system.
Keep your comments coming through on the Twitch. Sardine, our resident MacArthur fan, pointing out that it's technically true they pay nothing for the stadium rent, but they pay a huge amount for security, catering, etc. Well, everybody pays that.
If you've got to have fans to need security, so I don't... It doesn't really make sense to me, does it, Sardine? Like, come on.
Maybe they wouldn't need as much security if the fans were getting on better with the club in the active area, maybe. And he says, season one, we recruited players to play a style. Season two, we're recruiting players who can play the style in a certain way to plug the holes where the style failed. So this seems like a long way to make excuses for the coach to me.
Exactly. It seems like a lot of spending and not a lot of success.
Well, you know, I think they're wanting to stamp their authority. First club, new league, new club, new team. Players who don't know each other, finishing sixth. If you probably take that at the start of the year,
but
you just don't like watching them.
I honestly just don't like watching them.
They're not bad.
They're not. They are an okay football team, better than a lot of football teams, but doesn't mean I want. It's like I don't want to watch Jose Mourinho's teams all the time unless they're in the finals. I don't choose to turn my TV on to watch that.
It's fair. Yeah. So grand final coming up this Sunday. It's going to be 50% capacity, so 15,000 people allowed at Amy Park.
No Sydney fans?
Not if they're in the hotspots.
Yeah.
Sydney moved several players out of those spots in line for the midnight deadline so they could get across the border in time.
Yep.
Seems a little bit of a hurried production we're putting on here. I really think just waiting a week and getting the Socceroos back would be...
And I think it would be Sydney versus Melbourne have been the best two teams the whole season, the most consistent teams, and we deserve a final that is worthy of that. And I think that the City team are quite depleted from their best team, and Sydney, like, this week hasn't been the greatest preparation. So I think we're going to be in for an entertaining final, but not the final we deserve as A-League fans.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good, but as you say, without the star attractions, City will have to rely on Kolakowski and Tilio, who may not be as good at this point in his career as the first-choice players, but I think they're arguably more entertaining.
Oh, definitely. They, just like any players who are young, they have moments of brilliance, and then sometimes I'm watching them, I'm going, wait, what have you done again? Why have you got to this position? But they are fun, and City have got good players from the bench who can step up, and that's all you can ask for players on the bench.
Well, have you got a tip for us? Grand final, Sydney FC, Melbourne City.
I've been to a lot of City games this year, but I think that City can't play when the game is slowed down. I think that's what Sydney are going to do. So I think it's going to be a 2-1 victory to Sydney, but I really would like City to win.
I'm going to say City are going to do it.
Do you?
Home turf. Home fans. Sydney have not been as solid at the back this season as they have in the past. Ninkovic's performance is crucial, and you know he didn't play in the semi-final, so maybe they were resting him for this game. He sets the tempo for them, even if he's not contributing goals and assists necessarily. The interesting thing is, do they start Baumjahan after he starred in their semi-final? Do you drop Barbaroussis maybe? Because he's been misfiring this season. He hasn't hit the target. He hasn't really justified the exorbitant salary that we keep being reminded of.
He is the greatest sidekick the A-League has ever seen. Fantastic.
He's a Robin.
Honestly, he's phenomenal. This season hasn't been great, but his A-League career, if I was him, I'd be, you know what? I'm a second. I don't need to be the best. I pop up when I want to pop up, and I get paid a lot of money. I don't see anything wrong with that at all.
But do they start him is the question.
No.
No?
No.
Don't need his pace to stretch the defence with old men Adam Lafondra and Bobo up front?
With 15 minutes left, they're down. It's like 0-0. Then bring him on. He'll be, you know, experienced player, and he might be the hero.
I reckon they do start him. They leave Bobo on the bench as the impact sub.
That's big. That's a bit cool.
Yeah, but, you know, he's not getting any younger. He played 90 minutes or thereabouts in the semi-final, I believe. So
I think
it might be better to...
Costa's got to stay on the bench.
Yeah?
He can sit down.
Interesting.
They can chat about it on their bus trip, on their plane trip down.
Tanasi says, Kolar and Tilio have injected City with the identity they've been craving since day one.
But actually, speaking of the final, I actually don't think it's going to be more... I think it's going to be down to Cosnoburi. If Cosnoburi can tactically come up with a plan that can break down the Sydney team, because they've struggled to do that. They drew the second time they versed this year's season? Or mm-hmm.
I can't remember, to be honest.
But yeah, I think if Cosnoburi can come up with a plan that is sound and can give them the tools to win, I think then City win. But if not, then they're done.
The main game I remember between these two was the home match where Sydney were trailing 3-0. City blitzed them, and then Ninkovic came on and it was 3-2.
Yeah.
So that's why I say his performance is pretty crucial in this fixture.
I just think that their second matchup was more realistic of what both teams were. But to be fair, there's no McLaren and there's no, like, the front three that everybody's feared this season. So, you know, you never know.
You're right. That was a 1-1 draw away from home. So winning a draw, that's a pretty good record against Sydney. Yeah. Then again, no McLaren.
Exactly.
Looking like no Naboot either.
And
no Metcalf.
Yeah. It's going to... If City win, I think it will be... Show a lot of character and a lot of growth. And they've put in a lot of work this season. I think they have clearly been the best team all season.
That's why I'm backing the young boys in. Tilio, man. He's A-League's newest star.
He's a star, definitely. But Sydney have got this sorted, I think.
World Cup bolter.
It's all
right. Bit early for that, maybe. Yeah,
maybe
all right.
A little bit.
Before we go to a break and we talk about something other than Australian football, don't suppose our Oakley media manager over here got caught last night's game, did you?
Oh, of course I did. Come on. Come on, the Cannons. We're the best. We're winning.
Yeah, congratulations on beating a Preston team who made 7 changes to their first team.
Hey, a win is a win. That's all I see. I only see that 1-0 victory. I see success, okay? Come on. Easy win for us.
Chris Davies is their top scorer. He's a striker. He played centre back. He was playing central defence.
Hey, we all had to face the same issues. We had injuries also.
And Joe Guest watching on from his South Bank apartment, trying to get a clear view of the pitch.
Genius. He was telling us where the players were to go. That's why we won.
For the uninitiated, Joe Guest, Oakley's star player, reigning FV gold medalist from back in 2019, he was fortunately caught up in one of the hotspots, had to quarantine for 14 days and missed the game, but it wasn't too far away from the ground. So I do wonder whether
he had binoculars and he's just looking, you know.
I mean, the game was streamed, so it would be a little inconvenient if he was trying to do it the old-fashioned way. But,
exactly.
You know. And Preston... I think a lot of people were asking me, like, why on earth they rotated all these players. They didn't take the game seriously.
I'm actually a little bit curious about that myself. Yeah.
I think first and foremost, the league's the priority.
Yeah. Where are they at the moment?
They're in NPL 3. They're top of the table. And they probably have a chance to extend their lead at the moment because all the top sides below them are playing each other, Doveton, all the A-League youth teams. But they want to do this before A-League youth teams start dropping down their players involved with the senior team again. So it's the perfect time for them to try and press home the advantage and really basically bank promotion. They want to be involved in the national second division, but nobody takes them – well, people do take them seriously, actually, because they're getting 3,000, 4,000 people to games when they're allowed to have crowds.
They're a big club. Nobody can deny that.
Biggest club in Victoria, man.
Hey, the Cannons. Great Cannons.
But they lose a little bit of credibility if they're playing in the third tier of Victorian football. So the league campaign is the priority. They want to get promoted this season, potentially get promoted again next season, which is going to be a bigger jump from NPL 2.
I believe you said something last night about, you know, Preston, like the board and stuff. They don't want to be seeing them versus Oakley in the FA Cup. They want to see them playing him in the NPL. I caught that last night, Josh. Good commentary last night.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And big shout-outs to Teo Pellets there as well. Excellent as usual. His golden vocal cords. But, you know, it was a pretty spirited display from a rotated side. Just imagine if they played the first team, Oakley be in trouble. Watch out.
Oh, come on. Cannons all the way. We would even if they played their first team, we'd have bet 3-0. We're being generous.
Yet another gear, you reckon?
Absolutely. Elevation. We're better.
Never a penalty, by the way.
Oh, come
never
on.
Never a penalty.
100% a penalty, guys.
We'll go to a break. Euros chat on the other side. It's Twilight Football here on FNR.